Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about where I'm up to in podcasting, or the automation of podcasting. A little background history. I developed robotic and automated production lines at Nortel, or Nortel Australia, production of optoelectronic components, and importantly, over time have the trajectory of reducing the number of worker inputs and increasing the amount of automation, the amount of automatic reporting, label printing, process control for the ISO 9002 quality assurance. And so I'm at this process where I'm looking at the different production lines and creation of a robotic automation, and what that actually means is that I'm dividing our processes up. So for certain types of exam questions which lend themselves to podcasting, I'll stick with that, but I'm moving across to producing YouTubes with pen inking, so you can actually see me write on the page as I discuss exam points. And of course, this is sort of a fairly heavy thing. This is a very time intensive thing because there's editing and the actual uploading to use YouTube, although it's relatively automated. It takes a lot of finessing to get exactly right, and you have to edit it doing the video stuff. The audio stuff I've got up to this stage of producing the podcast on my dictaphone here. Then you plug your dictaphone into your computer. The computer is running a program which picks up the fact that new material it's been added into, and so it goes through and scans all podcasts of the last 24 hours or all audio files of the last 24 hours above a certain size. So as I'm going, I'll start to speak and start having a coughing fit, you know, in the first couple of sentences, and so I'll stop and start again. So anything under about 10 or 20 seconds, I know that's not going to be a podcast, so that casts it aside. It then on the computer screen reads the file name. Of course, the file name, as I podcast into here, doesn't know what I'm going to podcast, so it just gives a series of numbers associated with the data. Also, so there's file number, recentness, and it'll put it up there. And so this is I've put this in a cluster of controls, which is various switches to go through and put the actual podcast through to the internet or through a processing stage, and then put it up to the internet. Another stage is to actually directly listen. You press a button and you can actually listen to the actual podcast. So as you go down, you can actually press button after button, and it will actually very briefly hear it. So you press a button, and within about a second you start hearing the podcast, which is a little bit faster. And so in this cluster, so a cluster is an array of, not a cluster, is a cluster of data types. These are sort of basic, there'll be two string inputs, two controls at the moment. And then there's, so you can just simply type over the top. Well, that's an interesting thing. I might change that so there's one less keystroke. So the entire aspect is to reduce the number of keystrokes and the number of operations. So I've just realized there's an operation which I can improve upon, but there's the title that's read in from the dictaphone. Then you can type the new title, the actual, listen to it, type the new title, and then another array or another string field underneath it, type in the description. This is one of the things that where the actual, you get sort of tiny little unexpected wings. So I did have it just a day ago that you had to press a switch to say publish this, but essentially if it's blank it's unpublished, but if you do type a description it automatically publishes it. And so what happens at the moment is then it grabs the MP3 file and adds a generic start and finish to the MP3 file. So you've got the introduction music and the exit music and introduction signed off. I've just got to think about whether I'll do various things. And then I've got the actual main podcast in the center. So it just copies the file and adds those files together. Simple sort of DOS commands, but the operation of DOS commands has to be run through a automatic robotic command prompt program. So it goes through all of that, and then that puts it into a directory, which is routinely scanned to be imaged to the internet. So there's a few problems getting that sorted, but at least that's very, very fast. So you listen to it, type the name, and then type the description, and then it automatically grabs the file, edits it, audio constructs it, and is it ready to be uploaded to the internet. Then this the text description file added to the bottom of it is the link of where it will appear in the internet and the actual structure. And that's sent into an email. That's now I've got an automated email. And LabVIEW managing the email process is quite an intensive process. So I've got that as a DOS command prompt into a directory of the computer, which has an executable, a send email executable. So it just sends email with all these DOS commands, sequences, and it can send a message in the title, and that will automatically publish the blog. And so you stick the phone in, and it goes to automatically publishing the blog. And I'm at a stage now where you get these very short little wins, so you no longer have to actually click on it and say, look, publish this. It knows it has to publish it if you've written a description to it. I've just thought of, as I'm discussing it there, a thing where you don't have to actually clear the I'll change this. I had that's going to take a bit to change, where you've got the string describing the file or giving the file name as it is in the player, and then you have to enter in the file, your new file name, the descriptive name. This goes up to the title of it. And so that's coming together. So the things coming up is I'll have it scan the internet to see what podcasts are up there. And so if the podcast is already up there, it will take it out of the waiting directory in the it will just delete. So if there is a podcast up there on the internet, I've got to really think about this, up there on the internet for, I don't know, a few hours at least, it will delete the actual file in the podcast directory, ready to send it up. So because I do have a problem where the program which sends it up hangs if it tries to actually upload something which is already there. So one of the things to do is, once it's there, eliminate it from the queue further back. So there's a few things which have come up, but this is the intelligent thing. I won't say intelligent as in terms of smart. There's a slight difference between that. But at least it's a bit more sophisticated in that as soon as you write something down, it as soon as you plug in your phone, up comes on the screen with fields to actually put, which allows you to listen to it, say the title, input the title, and input the description for it, and then when you've done that, say, for three or four podcasts, so I might do three or four podcasts, it will take this and convert it to, or upload the podcast and open the blog file, or at least produce the blog file. Fortunately, so far, I can't see a way to actually put the tags in with the blog, or actually put the enclosure in. There doesn't appear to be a process to be able to do that. And so that's a laborious technique that you have to go in. But once it's up there, it automatically blog it, puts it across to the feed. From the feed, it produces it. Puts it onto Twitter, and also looking at the feed is iTunes, so it produces the iTunes, so it produces a little bit of a footprint there, and the overall process is to get this engine up and going, and then get a social media expert in to actually see how to tweak this up to larger circulation. Then sort of the branding. So what is essentially true in that there's a series of I'd say a larger series of objects that is sort of basic ignorance in the Australian teaching community, which the rest of the world is not ignorant to. But there's sort of almost global, I don't know what word, ignorance, neglected areas that you pick up that people may not have full understanding of. So it might be quantum mechanics, it may be electron affinity. As you're going, you can see, oh, look, there's people don't know this about a particular philosopher, or they hadn't heard, they don't actually know the... this is not I know it better, it's just that I've, without malice, have just gone about undisturbed and actually studied these things. I'm sure there's things that other people know that I think I know, whatever. So it's like the origin of the word mass, or certain areas of history or philosophers, that there's a general ignorance, not ignorance of it, it's not well known. There's sort of an assumption. It's not ignorance, it's assumption of knowledge, an unfounded assumption that we know a particular thing. So it's an unfounded assumption that ionization, and for instance in the periodic table, an unfounded assumption that we don't need to know the various groups or the association, or unfounded assumption that all the elements are incredibly different, or an unfounded assumption that you can see the origin of it in terms of that there's some very easy lessons that you can teach, but it's not based on sound science, sort of like trends in the periodic table, the Drude model. These things sort of crop up again and again, and people are not aware that there's a quality issue in the fundamental foundation. Yeah, it's sort of like putting rotten wood in a foundation, and although you unpack it from, you buy it from a quality shop, and it's got quality wrapping and all this type of stuff, and you put it in, the actual strength of the foundation isn't there. So I think that's the niche that I want to go for, is actually just adult conversations about technical knowledge, which can be improved by listening to these podcasts. Thanks. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.